First would be to understand what was the main purpose for shooting the documentary on Ahmed Issa.
Okay. Thank you. The truth about it is that from all intentions, the BBC set out to, and myself being the reporter on the film, set out to provide a balanced and objective profile of the work that Ahmed Issa and the Human Rights Radio through the Brekete family show what they do. So we reached out to, as far back as last year, we already reached out to Ahmed Issa to say, look, we understand what you are doing. And the film's intent is to also highlight how the failure or the flaws in the justice system has led Nigerian citizens to look for alternative solutions to their problems. And this is why people are leaving, not going to the government, but coming to Ahmed and the Human Rights Radio, because they believe that is where they can get justice instead of government institutions. So when we reached out to Ahmed last year, before, and we said, look, we want to document what you are doing. We want to understand why is it that people are looking to you instead of the government. And he said, yes. So he invited us, he welcomed us. And we told him that we'll be following him around. We want to see how he conducts his investigations, how he brings support to those who are in need and solutions to problems. And that's the intent. The intent was to actually show that, look, there is a flaw in the justice system that is making Nigerians to seek for alternatives elsewhere. And this is one of those people, the Human Rights Radio, Brekete family, and Ahmed Issa, how they are being used to fill that void where Nigerians have already given up on their government. That was the intent. And as a professional journalist, media organization of the BBC, ours is to, uphold the truth, show it as it is. And we, in the course of our work, while working with, documenting how the Human Rights Radio operates and how Ahmed operates, we got to speak and hear of criticism, speak to critics who felt that the way Ahmed and the station goes about delivering justice is unethical. And we told Ahmed in the course of even the story before the film came out that
Peter,
we
you
are
still
hearing
there?
from
We've lost.
critics.
Peter, we lost the last couple of sentences that you said. You kind of went off.
Sorry, what I was saying is that we approached Ahmed and said in the course of the film, that was even before the film was released, that we're hearing critics and we will obviously want to give you a right of reply, but we have to be balanced. This film is just to show how people perceive the work you do. And if there are critics who will bring those criticisms to you, we said no problem. But in the course of the film, when the Anambra case came up, which is actually the main focus that people are diverting attention from. There are eight children who have still not been found for over 20 years. And now that we were supposed to follow him to go on an investigation to find out what happened to those kids or to those lads, he said he's no longer going. We went to Anambra. And when we came back, we went to update him and say, this is what we found from our trip to Anambra. He still refused us access. I called. We sent emails for right of reply to allegations we received from critics. She denied us access. We published our film, and now the film is out. What do we receive? I'm receiving threats. People are identifying me. People are threatening me. They will kill me. In direct words, my location has been compromised, my safety compromised, my family compromised. I'm being threatened because I did my work as a journalist. And if that's the case, what does that tell about the freedom that we are trying to express? And right now, I'm talking to you, I'm in hiding. I don't know what will happen. I can't tell, but Ahmad has a followership, and I've received calls, thousands. I had to switch off my first line on the radio station live. They announced my number on Thursday. My phone was inundated. I had to switch it off. The next day, Friday, they announced my second number, the same thing. I'm being threatened for doing my job as a journalist, for asking questions after giving him numerous times we sought for right of reply to our story, the film before it was published, he refused. He wants to hold people accountable, but we have to understand that when we want to hold government accountable, we also want lawyers to be accountable. We want teachers to be accountable. We want doctors, medical practitioners to be accountable. We ourselves as journalists, we need to be accountable. How can this be accountability when you release my number to the public for the whole world to harass me on social media, my phone, my family?
Okay, you said the documentary was shot to bring a balanced perspective to the work Ahmed Issa does. So I'm trying to understand how the Anambra story came into the picture and how, of course, the little girl's story came into the picture. Because if one is watching the documentary, it's hard to tell what exactly the focus of the documentary is. Because from the opening, you see you were talking about Ahmed's work and, of course, how the justice system has failed and people have to resort to the likes of Ahmed to get justice. And then the next part of the video is focusing on a little girl who was born for being accused of being, she was accused of being a witch. And then the third part of the documentary moves to the children who were kidnapped from their homes in Anambra. So at what point did it, you know, move from seeing the kind of work Ahmed does to the girl and then to Anambra?
Okay. I think, and this is an important question because it actually revolves around why we are where we are at this point in time. I would ask you, did you watch the whole 27-minute film?
Yes, I did. I mean, of course, that's why I saw the part of the Anambra.
But I can tell you that many people who are taking this up have not watched the 27-minute film. They only seen scenes and clips of the film. And so they are making a judgment and concluding and on based on just those clips, but I will still give you the nuclear, I'll link them for you to understand. See, when we came to document, to profile the work he does with his consent, it is something that we discovered, and I will let you understand it from this point of view. There are two categories of people who show up at the human rights radio. When you see scores and hundreds of people coming to the radio station every day, you fall under two categories. And the first category are those who have received audience and have also had their cases solved, the success stories. Are you with me?
Yes, please.
Now, the success stories is the category one of people who come to the station. And that is exactly what we portrayed in the film with the little girl's case, that this girl was burnt as far back as last year, November, thereabouts. And she didn't get any form of justice, any form of good treatment until the show was aired on Human Rights Radio. And as a result of the intervention of Ahmad and the human and Brekete family, not only did the girl get treatment that she desperately needed, because the family, Ahmad and his followers rallied around her to give her the solace and the treatment she needs, but they also got the perpetrator of the injustice arrested. That is a clear example of how Ahmad has been able to fill the void that the state has filled, or the people perceive the state has filled. That is a good story. That exemplifies his work. It profiles his work. Now, the second category of people that come to that station, to the radio, are the second category, the category that make up the vast majority of people who come there. And they are the category of people that have not gotten their cases heard, and are hopeful that one day to be their turn, but also for the same people in this category are those who have gotten their cases heard maybe once or twice, and they are waiting to hopefully continue with their cases, which is where the Anambra case comes in. Because the Anambra case shows that, look, this was a case that I didn't manufacture, the BBC did not manufacture, Amazon did not manufacture. There are the scores and hundreds you see outside the station who have been coming for years, 2016, 2017, 18, 19, 2020, 2021. You see them coming day in, day out. And when you interact with them, they tell you that they are hopeful that one day their case will be brought up, but they don't know when. And the Anambra case exemplifies that second category of people, whereby your case comes up, you are heard, and people are believing something is being done about your case, right? Because Ahmad himself announced it, his populist senator, he announced it, former senator, he announced it that they are going to Anambra. We are not the one that said he's going to Anambra. He announced it, he's going to Anambra. We have been following him before this case came up. They brought this case to BBC, the human rights radio, Ahmad Issa brought this case to us, that they are working on this case. So they announced it, and we said, okay, Ahmad, I'm going to follow you. We have made preparations to go to Anambra. And all of a sudden, he says he's no longer going. For us, it was a shock, because if you say you're really defending the rights of people, this is actually a very potent case of eight people missing from the community for over 20 years. One of them as young as 10 years old. The community living in fear because
the person who perpetrated this act of the disappearance of the kids is living in the same community with them. And these are poor people. They come out of their houses when they're walking on the road, they see the senator passing with his big car and with security escort. It's in fear. They have not been able to speak out of the atrocities that happened 20 years ago out of fear. It is just now that the younger ones, you imagine the boy that was 10 years old that was missing. 20 years ago, by now he'll be 30 years old. It is just now that his siblings and his peers who know the injustice there but were too young to speak about it are coming out to speak about it. That is how they brought it to the station. And the merits are there. So if all of a sudden you say you are no longer going, you have already told the world that these families and others that you are going. And since February, when you announced you are going, the film came out in May. That's March, April, May. 3 months. You have not told the families that you are no longer doing their cases, but you still have hope that your case is being heard. And that is the second category of people that form the majority of the crowd that comes there. They are living in hope. But meanwhile, he takes a case, he makes a case very large, and then he leaves the case hanging without anybody knowing what's the next step. If not, the BBC came out, and now he's saying that's high, and the BBC wanted to assassinate him. Because of a case that he told the world is investigating, but he has abandoned. So that is the difference between the two stories. It forms the film actually portrays the two categories of people. One is how the good work he does in terms of how indeed he brings about solutions to problems like the Little Girls case. But the more important picture is that the majority of people who form the second category, when you take up a case, you use it and you know, you exemplify what you are doing, the good work you are doing, but you don't follow up with the hope that you give people. And that is why the attention has been diverted all this far from the 8 missing and Anambra kids. Because once you start talking about that kids, you're talking about things that have to do with affecting powers that be. My number was released on air.
Why is it important for Ahmed to investigate the case of the Anambra children who were allegedly kidnapped, that you had to take it up yourself? I would imagine there are 1,001 cases as this. So why is this particularly important to you that Ahmed takes it up or investigates it, that you had to do it yourself or go to Anambra yourself?
I mean, this is Chiamaka was saying that, look, I've been in working in human rights field for over a decade, and I've handled many cases that are really, really sad. But I want to tell you that I've not seen a case where a community has lost 8 young lads, one of them as young as 10 years old, on allegations that they are armed robbers by a senator who got them arrested and they disappeared. And I wanted to understand how such a case that can be so grievous can just be pushed aside by a human rights defender who also pledged to do this work and told the whole world that he's handling a case. And suddenly he only tells us that he's handling a case. We asked him then also that, okay, even if you don't want to go for whatever reasons, if we, and me, myself, Peter, and BBC go, and we come back, will you even listen to what we found to update you and give you at least an understanding of probably what we... He said, no. We asked him, okay, so will you still take up this case for these 8 missing kids or 8 missing lads? He said, no, he's no more taking up the case. And that for me was it started making me to think that if this is happening for a case as serious as 8 missing children, who, by the way, I have to emphasize that the only person who can bring about answers to this case is the senator, because he's still alive. And he's the one that can tell the whole world which police station it took the boys to, or which commissioner of police, who handled the case, who did he hand over the case, because he claimed the police took over the case. But the police said that they have not even told us they have any records of such a case. So if the senator is alive now and questions are not asked to him now, is it when he goes, because all of us will go one day, that we'll be able to know what happened to these 8 missing kids? And Ahmad understood how serious such a case was. So when he said he's no longer going, for me, it was like, do I let this go? If I have an opportunity of advancing such a case, it's a cold case, but we have an opportunity of bringing it out just by making sure the senator is held accountable to explain. That's what informed me that I will go. The BBC saw it fit that, you know what, this is a case of merit. What happened to those 8 missing boys? If Ahmad doesn't want to do it, that doesn't mean others cannot take it up. And you know, the truth is that it was Ahmad Isad and Breketa that was the first place these families of the 8 missing boys went to, because they believed that he can bring about a solution, just the way others going there believe. And so when they took it there, they saw the impact of taking it there. That shows also how Ahmad is effective, because once it was aired on his program, the whole world paid attention to it.